Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Old debt, new debt.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's a relief for poor countries when their debts are written off. But what good does it do if they go right back into debt? That's the warning today from the International Monetary Fund. The IMF says poor countries need to watch out for fellow governments that are all too willing to loan them money. China, in particular, has been handing out some big-time loans. The IMF has gathered in Singapore for what could be a historic meeting. The group could vote to give up-and-coming economies like China, Turkey, and Mexico more influence. Jocelyn Ford explains.
You might think of this as the International Monetary Fund's version of the Boston Tea Party. The developing countries have the world's fastest growing economies, and they want a bigger say in how the global economy is run. Asia economist Glenn Maguire is with the securities house Societe Generale.
The winners are North Asia. The loser, I would say, would be traditional economies in Europe. The United States will always, I think, remain the preeminent vote.
He says the U.S. dollar remains the reserve currency favored by foreign central banks. U.S. Treasury bonds remain a benchmark for global financial markets. Maguire says that's not likely to change soon. The Asian economies are likely to use their increased clout to prevent rapid changes in exchange rates that could cause them big losses. For example, China holds about $950 billion U.S. dollars in reserves, so if the dollar plummeted, it would lose a lot of wealth. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Maybe flying was never fun, but I seem to remember a time when it was kind of a pleasant experience. I just flew last week, and in no way, shape, or form was it pleasant. The Transportation Department just gave us some airline statistics from the first half of the year, so now I know why it wasn't such a good time. Here's Rachel Dornhill.
Forget snakes. The data suggests airline passengers feel like sardines on a plane. The number of air travelers was up from the year before, while the number of flights fell. But this allowed many airlines to begin their ascent to profitability. Industry analyst George Novak says part of this shift is carriers replacing aging aircraft with regional jets.
Also, the air carriers are getting smarter about how they schedule these flights, where they put their larger aircraft, where they put their smaller aircraft. They've cut back service to some cities.
To turn a profit, airlines generally have to fill at least 75% of their seats. This summer, passenger loads hit the high 80s. Still, Novak warns the recipe may be working now, but it is a volatile industry. Terrorism or a spike in fuel costs are just two factors that could leave airline profit margins squeezed like their passengers. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
GM and Ford under one roof? According to the Automotive News, sources say executives of the two automakers met in July and August to discuss a merger, or at least creating some kind of alliance. The sources say any deal is very unlikely, and talks are no longer going on. Wall Street's coming off a pretty darn good week. The Dow and the S&P 500 are near 2006 highs. Both improved 1.5%. The NASDAQ has a six-day rally going. It gained more than 3%. Today, oil prices inched up a bit to about $63.50 a barrel. You're listening to Marketplace. Around the country this morning, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, some Muslim taxi drivers from Somalia are refusing to take passengers they think might be toting alcohol. The drivers cite religious beliefs, but the city's airport believes they might just be avoiding short-distance fares. The airport's now forcing those drivers to go to the end of the taxi line if they refuse fares. Dallas has a lot of concrete and shopping malls. One thing it could use, apparently, is some trees. The city is doing a tree survey that could cost $1 million. It wants to find areas that need trees and identify varieties that have been overplanted. And in Los Angeles, the Shrine Auditorium is looking for a corporate sponsor. Its owners want to upgrade the building and perhaps lure back the Academy Awards. Those are now held in the Kodak Theater, although the Emmys and some other events are held at the Shrine. Marketplace Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting communities through grant-making, volunteers, employee giving, and creative partnerships. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
We're less than 2 weeks from the end of the government's fiscal year, and it looks like the federal budget deficit will come in about 20% smaller than last year, around $260 billion. Or it could be twice that amount if you do the math the way Newsweek's Alan Sloan does it.
$558 billion, give or take a few bucks for rounding errors.
Well, that's about $300 billion difference. How do we come up with that?
I'm sort of an old-fashioned person, and I have this idea that when the government issues an IOU to somebody, it's the same thing as paying cash because at some point, somebody will have to pay the IOU. So by my rough math, the government will have issued $298 billion of IOUs to the Social Security Trust Fund and to a batch of other trust funds, and I expect the IOUs to be paid.
Why isn't that included in the federal deficit number that the government comes out with?
Because it just isn't. Okay, Social Security is theoretically part of the government, and there's something called the unified budget where it's included, but nobody pays attention except for a handful of cranks like me. But it doesn't count as an expense. I mean, just look at it that way.
Well, why does it matter if the government uses the $260 billion figure or your figure? It's still less than it was last year, so...
I come from a world in which numbers matter. Putting bad numbers in the world produces bad results. And maybe $558 billion would get your attention. And maybe somebody would actually possibly do something about this or care. You know, it's my job to tell people what's going on, and that's what I'm doing.
We're talking about all these numbers, but I guess getting lost in the shuffle is the fact that we are borrowing all this money.
Right. We're borrowing, just for the sake of discussion, $260 billion from regular people. And again, then $298 billion from taxpayers yet unborn with IOUs. The bulk of the $260 billion that we're borrowing from investors comes from foreign lenders. The idea of borrowing all of this money from central banks, largely Asian central banks, that are run by countries whose interests in the end are not going to be the same as ours, this really makes the country vulnerable. It really weakens us. It would be one thing if we were borrowing this money to build up infrastructure in the United States or make ourselves more competitive. We're borrowing it for consumption, and we're just giving an increasing part of our future to the rest of the world because we won't face up to the problems here by either raising taxes or cutting expenses or preferably a combination of the two. And we're not going to do it until some event forces us to do it. And it's not going to be fun.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Typically, when a political...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.